The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. Don't forget, you can become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. Also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. That's the final shameless plug for a little bit. We're talking a little MSU basketball. We're going to get to collective bargaining agreements around 8:30, talk a little Super Bowl, all that good stuff. But I want to stick with this MSU basketball thing, Scott, because I got to be honest, to me, it's been a bad season for Tom Izzo. But like I said, I'm a teacher. I understand that sometimes you get a group of people that no matter what you do, you can't motivate them and you can't get them going. Okay, but this team, that effort on Thursday night, in my opinion, was a direct result of Tom Izzo making a sacrifice and saying, you know what, we're going to play for Draymond Green's triple-double, and even if it means that we're rubbing it in somebody's face, we need this team building.
Well, the thing that I really liked, they had the flexibility, the freedom to be able to do that. They weren't playing from behind. They didn't have to claw into anything. I got there late. Game started at 7. I'm here doing a show until 7. So I show up, and it was the first game in a while that I've gotten to, and they've had the lead. Normally, I walk in and I just go, wow, how did this happen? Oh, Zach Novak just hit 4 threes before I walked in the door. That's usually the place where I get to. This time it was Kalen Lucas. He just hit a bunch of threes. And the thing that I love, 41-21 at halftime.
Yeah.
And as you and I were talking before, the best thing about it, Penn State would make a little run. Taylor Battle finally hit a shot. Like he struggled. He had a bad night. Taylor Battle did.
He's allowed to have those.
Yeah, when you have to carry a whole team, you're allowed, and that's okay. But they would put a couple shots together, a couple possessions where Penn State would come down, they'd look pretty good. In that, the last 5-10 games, even more than that, when that happens, you kind of go, oh no.
Here they come.
Yeah, something bad is going to happen here. And every time that Penn State would do that, I'd look up at the scoreboard, Michigan State was up 13, still up 11. And they didn't really let it get any closer to that. And that's what gave them the ability to let Draymond Green try to get the triple-double. So that just turned into a great morale booster for the team, I'm sure.
What are your feelings on, and I've already shared my feelings, I'm cool with him. I'm cool with Tom Izzo rubbing in Penn State's face to get the triple-double. Do you think they should have gone for it, especially seeing what happened to Delvon Rhode? Do you think they should have gone for it? Do you think they should have just said, you know what, we're happy with the win, let's stick with that?
Oh, that's tough. And to say rubbing it in, I think that's a little harsh.
Well, they
didn't go about it the best way.
Here's
it was
the reason,
overly obvious.
All right, let me clarify that. Here's the reason I think it was a rubbing, okay? When you're up 15, 20 points, 1 minute to go, and you're heaving full court passes to try and get somebody an assist, okay, that to me is rubbing it in your face. Now, I understand, see, to me it's even because Penn State was fouling hard too, which I would have my players do if I was having somebody rub it in my face. So to me, it's fair. But at the same time, to me, that's rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, a little bit. But as Tom Izzo said, and I mean, Ed DiCella said the same thing. There are no hard feelings with that. And it was the third time in the history of Michigan State. When you can put somebody in the class with Magic Johnson and Charlie Bell, you will go out of your way to do it. And I have to give credit to Matt Steginga. As I was driving to the game, like this was very, very early on, he said, you know, I always talk about how Draymond Green is a triple-double type of guy, but tonight looks like it could be his night. So he called it very early on in that game.
I want to stick with Draymond Green for a little bit longer because I don't think we've given him enough credit in this. And you talked to him after the game. Give me a little bit of the attitude that he had because I loved his reflection on the floor. I think that's his best type of leadership is just showing it on the floor, pouring it out, yelling, screaming, not to anybody, but just to yourself and showing that emotion, and that feeds into other players. What were your thoughts about Draymond Green?
The best thing about it, when asked how he felt about the triple-double being compared now with Magic and Charlie, his smile came back. His face lit up. He was happy. But then he goes, you know, I'm really excited, but then he was worried about Delvon. He said, I'll feel better as soon as I know that he's okay.
Boy, oh boy, Delvon looked mad on the bench, didn't he? Oh boy, you had to feel for. I'll be honest with you. When I saw the injury, if it was somebody else, I would have said. When I saw it, I said to myself, if this is anybody else, I think it's okay. But because of his knee injuries and stuff, I really thought that he got very, very hurt. Now, we saw in the press release that it's day-to-day. He's going to be okay. No major injuries shown in the MRI. But Delvon Rowe was obviously angry on the bench, especially when Draymond Green came out to the standing ovation.
Well, he was mad because just getting that hard foul. And because Delvon... Draymond said that Delvon told him, hey, you need an assist. Just find me. I'll get me the ball and I will score. I will get you your triple-double, which I don't know how true that is because, well, we know Delvon's not an offensive threat, but that's besides the fact. And so he kind of dedicated himself to helping him get that. So he wasn't upset about that fact because he wanted to get it for Draymond. They're very good friends. They came in together and everything. He's mad about the technical foul getting fouled hard. I'm sure that is why he was upset. And what the best thing, what Draymond said, and Delvon wasn't there post-game, obviously. He's getting checked out, yeah, and made sure that he's safe. He was more worried when they're talking on the court. He wasn't sure that it went in.
Really?
That's what Delvon Rowe wanted to know. He goes,
okay,
did the layup go in? He didn't care, and Draymond didn't care that he had the triple-double. He wanted to make sure Delvon was okay. Delvon didn't care if he was okay. He wanted to make sure that Draymond had a triple-double.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, and that's exactly why I give Tom Izzo so much credit. For the first time this year, they were playing together. They were playing for a common goal, and they worked together. They played unselfish basketball. And for it to get to this point that Tom Izzo had to sacrifice the way he usually does things is unfortunate. But you do what you got to do to get people to play well. I want to talk a little bit about the fans at this game and for the future of Michigan State. You know, I'm a little disappointed, and I didn't realize this because, you know, when you watch it on the Big Ten Network or whatever, when you're up in Mount Pleasant, you don't see the whole stadium. But when you were telling me, Breslin Center was kind of empty and quiet.
Well, not necessarily quiet. It was quiet, but that's the nature of the game when you're up 20 at half. But yeah, looking around, and I've got it here, the final stats that they gave us. Attendance, 14,797. Yeah, that's a sellout attendance. That's not who was actually there. But for the Izzone, they have the upper deck Izzone. There hardly anybody was there. And there were even patches in the lower bowl Izzone where there just weren't people there.
Let me ask you something, because you are an MSU student or were just graduated. So you understand the situation more. Is it more a situation of the how bad the team is, or is it more a situation of the attitude of how Michigan State students are these days? Because let me clarify that for a second. Okay, when I was in college, which was, you know, I mean, I'm only a year and a half ahead of you or whatever, but back when my brother wasn't at MSU, back when his friends were at MSU, which was 5-6 years ago, okay, it was more about people who were smart academically, but social life came 1A and academics came 1B. It seems like the attitude these days are academics 1A and social life maybe a 2 or a 1B, although I'm almost leaning towards 2 at this point. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing for Michigan State University. That's a great thing for research and things like that. But when you talk about a football team and a basketball team, if you are academics first, fans don't care as much. Am I off base with that at all?
Ooh, that's really tough. You could be. It's tough to make the snap judgment like that. I would say that
wasn't
just
tough for me.
Oh yeah, I know. For me, it is. Sorry. I would say it's not necessarily that they're just not as intense for their love towards the basketball team or to the sports. And I'm not sure if it is because they care more about academics now. It's just a different style. You definitely do see a change.
Because I'll tell you what, when I was a junior in high school or a senior in high school, okay, and I went to a couple games in the Izzone. I went with my brother and a couple of his friends to the games in the Izzone. And this was back when Marcus Taylor was a sophomore and you had all those freshmen. Team wasn't very good, okay? And I went to 2 games that year. I went to when they played Arizona, when Arizona had Luke Walton, and I went to the Iowa game. Now, in both games, Michigan State was not favored in those games. But boy, oh boy, the Breslin Center brought it. and those students cared a lot. And I don't get that same vibe from the student section these days that I did back then. The Izzone, to me, has fallen back in the pack as far as intimidating student sections go. If you watch the games, you don't have a lot of jumping, you don't have a lot of screaming, you don't have a lot of cohesiveness with the way fans are jumping and screaming and rooting for their team. When you need your fan base most is when you're down 5 to 10 points. And I don't see that from the Izzone. That's what makes a good fan base.
Yeah, I mean, in the team, and Tom Izzo gives them credit, the home crowd credit after every game. But you're right, they don't have, and I mean, how much does the crowd have an effect? But you're right, when they really need them, they kind of step up, but it's not as much
to
as I've
honest, seen.
To be
honest, you know, just to say this before we hit the hard break, you talk about how much credit should the crowd deserve. Honestly, they can either suck the life out of a team or put life in the team. And this year, I would say they've sucked the life out more than they've put it in. All right, we're going to move over to the collective bargaining agreement when we come back. The NFL is over, Super Bowl is over, but what's next for the most successful professional league in all of sports? It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.